Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
From restaurant openings and discounts on bars and hotels to beauty and fashion offers, Sheerluxe partners with London's best venues, suppliers and brands to bring its VIPs exclusive monthly offers. And this month, we're offering new annual sign-ups a free 111 Skin Space Antioxidant Booster worth £85. Or trial VIP and get 2 months free access using the code VIPX2 at checkout. For more information, visit SheerluxeVIP.com.
Welcome to the Sheerluxe Highlights podcast with me, Charlotte Collins. This week, I'm joined by Laura Black, Lou Half, and Pascal Day. Hi, everyone.
Hello.
So I'm a bit tired today because I woke up at 6 o'clock this morning to watch the Game of Thrones finale. I don't know if listeners know, but we record our podcast first thing on a Monday morning. I had to squeeze in Game of Thrones viewing because I have ruined so many episodes of the season for myself because I can't stay off Instagram and the Daily Mail for a full day.
I was going to say, so it's not like you're really eager to watch it. You just don't want to spoil it for yourself.
Correct. I just want to watch it without seeing... Because even if you don't get, like, direct spoilers, you still get everybody's opinion.
Yeah.
Like, the British press still love to run, like, oh, everybody's saying this and that about...
Or even if they're just like, what did you make of the big twist? And it's like, oh, so there's a twist.
Yeah. Correct.
I don't know about you guys, but I feel like TV has never been more analysed than it is now. I swear previously, you never had so many spoilers or so much group discussion about these shows.
I think it's just the internet, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's so much worse.
It's crazy.
You just need to shut down from any social media.
That's what I did. I figured watching it 4 hours after it aired was quite good going, and that would be the only way to do it. Instagram's quite good. People try not to be too mean.
Yeah.
But like the Daily Mail don't give a shit, and they just will write stories left and centre. And I like a sidebar of shame fix in the morning.
Well, you need to stay quiet in case anybody has
I will not give any spoilers away, and I'm sure there's a load of listeners who'll be really glad that it's over and we don't have to ever talk about it on the podcast again. It feels quite like there's something missing once a TV show ends.
Yeah,
when there's something you've really enjoyed for years, it is quite sad, isn't it? It's like when Fleabag ended.
Yeah. Lucky for you, Love Island starts in 2 weeks.
So
Oh my god, 2 weeks
today. And if you're listening, it's less than 2 weeks today because this goes out on a Thursday. So great news.
That's how you know summer started.
I know. Has anybody else been watching anything good?
I watched a good show. It's on BBC Three. It's called Back to Life. If you liked Fleabag, you'll like this show.
Ooh. Is this one about the girl who comes out of prison?
Yeah. And it was really, really good. And I don't want to spoil anything because I'm notorious for spoiling things. But yeah, really good. I can't remember the name of the woman that's in it, but she's amazing.
Is it like Fleabag?
It's not Fleabag levels of good, but it's still very good. And like, you don't know what she did, why she was in prison until like the very end. It's very poignant, I think.
Okay. But funny?
Yeah, kind of like darkly funny. If you've ever watched Flowers, it's a bit like that.
Worth a watch. And is the whole season on BBC Three now?
Yeah, 6 episodes, half an hour long, so easily done in one day.
I don't know if I prefer being able to binge or if I prefer having to get up at 6 o'clock in the morning to watch something. Like, I don't know what's worse or better.
Do you know what's weird though? You know, you sent me a piece the other day about how people ruin things for themselves.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, that's awful. But I actually do that. I looked up what happened at the end of Game of Thrones today, and I've never seen it.
Yeah, but that's different. So the piece that I sent Pascal was written by Jo Ellison, who's the fashion editor at Financial Times, and she basically said that Game of Thrones, she's never interested in watching it from the beginning, but she wanted to be involved in the conversation, so she's just been kind of very casually watching this season, so she can at least be involved in the chat, or at least have an understanding of this whole like zeitgeist that everybody's talking about.
Yeah, I think it's more understanding. And I did it with The Big Bang Theory, and I hate that show, and I don't know why I did it.
I did exactly the same. I also read in full detail everything that happened in the final episode of Big Bang Theory.
And then I watched the end.
Oh no, I didn't do that.
I'm like, on
YouTube. Like the fear of missing out? Is it like you don't like socially not to be able to join in the conversation?
And I think being a journalist, just having an awareness of what's going on. And
I think we are people who like to feel like we know what people are watching and be like, yeah, I've watched that and I've read that. So if it's not for you, you still want to be able to feel
you've got
that you can contribute to
particularly if it's the end of something, like it's the real end of an era.
Yeah.
That's the difference.
Yeah. I hate the Big Bang Theory.
Oh, terrible.
It's the worst show on television.
Why has it been going for 12 years?
Why do people find it funny?
Awful.
I've also just got a podcast to recommend. I've been listening to How to Fail by Elizabeth Day.
Literally my favourite. Have you listened to Mo Gowder?
No.
You've got to listen.
I do that really awful thing with podcasts where I go through and only listen to all the people who I know or like. And then at the end I'm like, okay, I'll listen to the people who I don't know. So who is that?
I think he worked for Google Play, but his son died after a routine appendix operation. Oh, and it's how he's turned it round to make his life happy. And he's now written a book on how to be happy, and I've recommended it to so many people. He is so wonderful. As I was listening, I was on a bus and I was jotting down notes on my phone.
Oh wow, one of those.
I loved it.
So the premise is Elizabeth Day, who's an author. I mean, she actually now has a book, doesn't she, called How to Fail. But the idea was that, you know, people talk all about things that made them successful, but not necessarily the failures that made them successful or the failures that they learned from. So she interviews people in the public eye and she speaks to them about significant moments in their life where they feel they failed, what they learned from that, or what subsequently happened because of that. My only criticism, all the ones I've listened to so far, is that a lot of people are like, I failed my driving test and I learned this, or I failed a GCSE and I learned this. It's valuable and we can all relate, but at the same time, I want to hear that somebody like got fired from a job age 30. Like, I feel like where I'm at in life, it's not that helpful to know that somebody like didn't pass a GCSE and still was really successful.
I totally agree, but I really recommend it to people because I feel like I know quite a few people who have had little hiccups along the way recently.
Who doesn't?
And just listen, because it makes you realise that you can have these horrible setbacks and actually just turn them around and use them as a positive way to go forward. Yeah. And often, you know, they're not life and death. As you said, you know, you can find another job or you can start something new.
Yeah.
I love it.
I agree. And also, I've only listened to, as I say, a few of my favourite celebrities. And there's loads, aren't there? There's like 30 to listen to.
And also, often, like with Desert Island Discs, it's sometimes the people that you don't know are the most interesting.
Definitely. Yeah. Desert Island Discs is just
that's
like
so good to get a recommendation, though, because I'm exactly the same with Charlotte. I only listen to the people that I know. So if someone's like, okay, listen to this one, I'm like, okay, fine.
Yeah.
I love those ones.
Good. Yes. So I really do recommend it for a bit of life advice. And also, she is really likable. Oh, I know why I got onto it. And you're like this, because she did one with Phoebe Waller-Bridge.
Oh.
Yes, and somebody recommended that, so we listened to that, which is obviously just amazing. And Phoebe's is a bit like, I was really naughty at school, and it's like, okay.
She's really done one as well with the actress from Line of Duty that I've just listened to, but I can't remember her name. Kate.
Vicky McCool? No.
Vicky, there you go. You got it.
Kate's Heron.
Kate is her character name. I also really enjoyed listening to the Sheer Likes podcast, might be interested in the magazine industry, and Farrah Store, who is now editor of Elle magazine, and she was editor of Cosmo when she recorded it last summer. Hers is really inspiring, and she's just got a really interesting outlook on life, and obviously it's really interesting evaluation of the industry as well, so I recommend that.
One more thing to add that I did this weekend, I went to the Only Human exhibition at the National Portrait Gallery, which is the new exhibition by Martin Parr, who's a celebrated photographer. He's done like loads of celebrities, but this one was really about his sort of daily observations of British culture, and it's very funny. It's kind of a real like British seaside town, quite tongue-in-cheek, and it was just really, really interesting, and it's almost kind of catching people off guard who aren't normally in front of the camera. And
when are they photos from? What time
frame? So it spans probably over the last 10 years, but a lot of it is kind of the last 2-3 years. Like, there's a lot about Brexit, and it's just like a fun poke at British society, and it doesn't take anything too seriously, and it's really raw and really real. There's a lot about like the races and people like dressed up so much, and there's kind of, I love it when they have those little descriptions in the rooms about why he's created that one section. And he was saying that you can learn so much about people and about Brits and what they do in their leisure time and how that's observed, and how like we go to the races and loads of people just don't even care about horse races, and it's just about the spectacle of being there and what you're going to wear and so watching everybody. So it's really, really fun. I think it's the final week. It's only on to the 27th of May. But if you do have time, go and check it out. And I just love the National Portrait Gallery. It's my absolute favourite in London.
I've never been there.
What?
I just like never know what's on or like what to go and see. I'm not a very arty person, but that sounds quite good.
Oh, I don't think you need to be arty. For me, the National Portrait Gallery has always been the most inspiring because I just love looking at people. And there's also an incredible rooftop cafe. And you can just go and just sit, even like in the bookshop, it's amazing. It used to be my go-to when I was at St. Martin's, just go and feel inspired and look around, and it's really cool.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, you're making me feel like I need to go to a gallery this weekend. Yeah. And do that. Let's talk about food now. We wrote a piece where we interviewed a variety of top London chefs, how they make their salads more exciting. Pascal, you wrote this piece.
I did, yeah.
Tell me, what did you take from it?
Well, I'll be honest, Georgie said she was interested in this. And I was a bit...
And I was like, I'm not.
Like, oh, I don't know. But then when I spoke to all the chefs, actually, very interesting.
Can I ask what the definition of a salad is?
That is a really good question.
That is a good question. I agree, because somebody said add some salmon, add some eggs.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, is that a salad?
Yeah, when does a salad stop being a salad?
Exactly. When people have, like, pasta, like a carb base, to me, that's no longer a salad. It's a cold pasta dish.
What is it? Is it something with leaves and it's cold, but then you can have hot salads? I don't know.
I feel like it has to have lettuce in it. If it doesn't have lettuce in it,
do you think
that's it? I feel like it has to be minority carbohydrates. Like, you could have a salad with potato in it.
Yeah, definitely.
Agreed. Like, a niçoise would have potato, yeah, but there'd still be a salad.
The main category has got to be vegetables.
I think that's right.
No, but if the main category is vegetables, like, that's basically everything I eat, and I don't just eat salads.
Should I just Google it?
Yeah,
let's find out. Salad is a cold dish of various mixtures of raw or cooked vegetables, usually seasoned with oil, vinegar, or other dressing, and sometimes accompanied by meat, fish, or other ingredients. That is also
food.
A mixture containing a specified ingredient served with a dressing.
So maybe it's a dressing.
I think it needs a dressing. I think it's a dish.
And a mixture of things?
Yeah, it's like a big mixed pot. It's a big that has mixture. A dressing on it.
I think salad's anything you want it to be.
Okay. Sure.
Have interpretation there.
So continue. What did you take away from this piece? Are you a big salad eater?
No.
No.
I don't mind them in summer. I don't really like them in winter. I just never know what to do with them. And I think they're quite expensive sometimes.
Yeah, they can be.
Yeah.
What, you mean if you buy a pre-made one, or you mean even just making your own?
Both. I think both. There's so many different components that go into it. It ends up being quite expensive.
To make it really taste.
Yeah,
I think because sometimes salads can get a bit samey.
Yeah.
So you need to have enough variety in there to make it interesting. And that normally, in turn, gets expensive.
But I do think that was the motivation for this piece, because there's nothing worse than a samey salad, but actually a pimp salad can be amazing.
Yeah.
Okay, Lou, you like a salad.
I love a salad. My mum always puts fruit in her salad.
Mm-hmm. I'm not mad at that.
Yeah.
That is quite controversial in my world.
I know. Oh. I know Georgie doesn't like it, but it causes a, fruit in our salad.
Oh, I've always thought that it's like women like fruit and salad and men don't. Maybe that's probably so wrong with me.
I think that's true.
I do, but I love it. A couple of grapes. Some slices of tangerine she always puts in there. Mm. It definitely adds a little bit something when you've got something boring.
The one that I would let go, I quite like a pomegranate.
Yeah,
pomegranate.
Yeah, yeah, lovely.
Salad.
Mm.
Yeah. What, we wouldn't like any other fruit in salad?
No.
I love
like apple in a salad for me, wrong.
Oh,
delicious.
I love peach in a salad, like a watery salad with peach.
Mm.
I
would like grilled peach.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Or like watermelon. Love pear and goat cheese. Sorry, I know I'm pairing all these with cheese.
And with some walnuts as well. Yeah. It's so nice. So yeah, that's my mum's tip. I really like, you know, those Graze pots? It's a Graze protein power one or something. And it's basically chili and lime.
Oh, the seeds.
Cashews, peanuts and almonds. If you haven't got time to like go and get some nice nuts, and they already have got that like lovely chili lime seasoning. Delicious little addition.
Yeah. And I actually think the key is to have different textures. Yeah. By adding nuts and seeds and delicious things. Like, that just pimps up.
So good. And like, you can get little sachets and they're kind of flavored. There's like a nice soy and chili glaze one. And for me, like being vegetarian as well, that's a really good extra protein source to add into a salad.
So I also love, I've talked about them as a snack before, but the clear spring nuts that are in the,
such
like,
a good
the
one.
Soy flavor. They are so, so good.
So tasty.
Just a small bag and just empty the whole thing on.
Yeah. But I think when you're at home, just having like a pot of seeds, toast them and just add them on top of a salad just makes it just a bit more interesting.
Yeah. We were talking the other day, weren't we, on the show about putting peanuts and everything. And Laura, I know you're like an Asian infused dish, but just putting some peanuts with a bit of honey and soy sauce.
Yum.
So good. Pistachios.
Yum.
Any sort of nut, really.
Mm. Yeah.
Laura?
When I was reading this, there's a bit of a joke among my friends that I always have a spinach salad and I always have it with olive oil, lemon and salt. It's like the basis.
Delicious.
So pretty much
just that.
Everything I eat. Okay. Yeah, delicious. Sometimes cucumber, bit of celery, maybe if I'm feeling a bit out there.
Oh, I love celery.
I hate celery.
Like, oh, I don't understand how you can dislike celery. Like,
it's quite
I know
strong flavor. I can get it.
Do you think?
It has the strongest flavour. I hate the taste of it so much. Yeah.
But loads of these chefs say olive oil, lemon and salt, but one of them said lime. And I thought, oh, maybe I'll mix it up.
Go crazy.
Crazy. One of the biggest things that they all talked about was a dressing or a sauce. I always try to avoid any kind of sauce or dressing, but and I do always just a glug of olive oil and some lemon, but maybe I need to be more adventurous.
Good olive oil, so...
Yeah, and I think a good dressing can transform something really bland.
Yes.
Obviously, I think some people are worried because of the calories in oil or whatever, but it just can make it so much more tasty. Yeah. So.
A friend also once gave me a tip. She's a cook, and she said that you should always chop everything the same size.
That's really good advice.
Yeah, so why?
I literally just ate a Pret salad, and it's the new Greek salad, and everything, you know, it's all like nice peppers and feta and olives, and that's all the same size. But then there's the massive slices of tomato, and it's really irritating because you can't just put your fork in and go. You have to like
you have to have a knife.
It's literally I don't have time for that shit. Like you have to slice your tomatoes. I think that's really good advice.
There we go.
I like that a lot.
You're welcome.
Well, pomegranate seeds is one of my big takeaways. I love walnuts, pomegranate seeds, spring onions. Yeah, bam. Any salad is more interesting. I put all of that on like a rice dish as well.
Yeah, lush.
But also using different types of oils, I think, was a really good tip because if you are, let's say you're like grilling asparagus or something else to put in, or even if it is just tomato dressing. I've got really into different flavoured olive oils at the moment. So we've got a garlic olive oil and a lemon olive oil on the go at the moment. If you like to spend a bit of money, they are amazing. You know when they're like really thick and oily?
I don't know if anyone's ever eaten at the Pig, but they do this amazing herb-infused oil from their garden that's got rosemary, thyme, like literally everything, and then it's so good.
Delicious.
There are a few things like that. There was a salt in this list that I hadn't heard of either. It was like a smoked salt. I can't remember.
We talked about it yesterday, actually.
It's actually so worth having a few of those like fancier store cupboard things, and then they can just work on anything, can't they?
And having good salt. We've talked about molten salt. It makes such a difference.
I'm so bad at that.
Really?
No, I just use salt. That's awful, isn't it?
Oh no, just game changer.
Yeah.
Delicious.
Yeah. Interesting. Was there anything in this piece that anyone thought they were gonna try that you haven't done already? Any ingredients?
No, but one of the chefs, I was reading this last night, and I loved that one of them said, if it grows together, it goes together.
Nice.
Like, yeah.
That's really nice.
I need to good take tip. That on board.
Wait, but what's an example of that?
I think he's also talking about seasonally.
Oh,
so,
okay.
Yeah, if it grows really together, nice. It goes together. I thought that was a good thing to have in the back of your mind.
Nice. And also, salads are always better when you eat seasonally, because actually, the fresher the fruit and veg, the better it is, isn't it? Well, if you do want more tips on how to make a salad taste that bit more exciting, then do have a look at the piece on the site. Bit more food chat now. Let's talk about how to stop craving carbs. This piece says your fridge is full of salad leaves and your cupboards are piled high with lentils and quinoa, but all you really fancy is a toasted bagel or a slice of cake. I mean, I didn't write this, but I might as well have done. So we asked the experts how to curb those carb cravings. Laura, I feel like you're quite controlled.
I am probably quite controlled, but I love a carb. Mm. I mean, if you're going to have pasta, have proper pasta.
Do you crave them?
Yeah, I love carbs. But I do feel that if I don't sleep properly, I definitely want more. If I drink, I definitely want more. But I kind of think, as long as you're aware of that, then if you want your carb, have your carb.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Life's too short. You're right. I think it's just everything in moderation and balance. And often I think if someone really, really wants something, just have it, because often you can kind of go around everything you want to get and then just end up eating more than you would have naturally and you're still not satisfied. So I think just have it.
I think that works if you don't crave stuff very often. If I ate everything I wanted to eat, I'd literally be a house. I mean it. Because if I applied that rule to the way I eat, then I would be having like Frosties for breakfast and jam sandwiches for lunch and Domino's for dinner. Like,
but do you
I really
think
would.
If you had that all the time, you'd still crave it. Do you think it's not a kind of intertwined within being healthy and not having it, that you're like, oh, I really fancy that?
Yes, probably, but I'll never know because I'll obviously never eat like that. So therefore, I can't live by a rule of, well, I should just have it when I want it, because otherwise I would literally
eat it's obviously in moderation.
Yeah, I'd be very unhealthy about
it. What about having like a small bit, just like a bite?
I can't do that.
No. I
tell you what's quite a good tip is if you're making pasta or spaghetti bolognese, I still want the pasta, but I will do the courgette.
Oh,
as well. So then you've got the volume.
Oh, a mix. Oh, that's
clever. So then you've got the volume, but you don't.
That's really
clever.
It's
not all pasta.
So going back to this piece, carbohydrates are not an issue in that. I just know that I function better with carbohydrates. I also, a lot of the evidence now is that that is fine for you. I don't think it's having a wholemeal bowl of pasta that makes you fat, but it's more for me like cakes and the biscuits to curb. But we all know that anyway. Pascal, do you crave carbs?
Oh, yeah. Like all the time.
Do you get full without eating carbohydrates?
No.
No. That's
but I think that's because I eat a lot of carbs. Mm. I just love bread. I just like can't live without it.
Do you try to control the quality of carbs you eat or not really? Do you buy nice bread or...
Yeah, actually, I would say that. And we do eat like wholemeal pasta and brown rice, but it's just so boring, isn't it? Like, it's just not as good.
No, I actually disagree. I wouldn't touch white bread.
Soft, touch silky all over. White bread. Delicious.
Disgusting.
French baguette.
Yeah.
I'd eat, like, fancy white bread, but I wouldn't eat, like,
I wouldn't eat like
white hovis.
Oh, yeah, of course.
Yeah, cheap, nasty.
I would. Delicious.
No, I wouldn't eat that. It's about quality. Like, if I'm going to have a croissant, I'll get a Gayle's croissant, not a Sainsbury's croissant, for example.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Okay, well, the advice, if you do crave carbs in this piece, included avoid skipping meals. I think that's true. We all know that the more you starve yourself, the hungrier you get, and it's all going to go to shit, isn't it? There's that meme that's like, breakfast, yogurt, lunch, salad, dinner, everything in my fridge. That's me.
The good night's sleep thing is quite interesting.
I completely agree with that.
You mentioned that. I agree with that.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that, but I feel like that makes sense.
But as in, if I'm tired, I need to be fed constantly.
Yeah.
It also says to look after your good gut bacteria. Eat protein with starchy carbohydrates. I thought that was a good point. That's a bit like your point, isn't it? That if you eat carbs with protein, then you kind of balance it out. So I guess like have some salmon with your brown rice, and then you need less brown rice, don't you?
Yeah.
And also try and relieve stress. I think, again, a lot of people emotional eat, don't they? And that's when you crave carbs. I know when I'm sad, I just like need a biscuit tin.
But then also when I'm happy as well.
Yeah, that's really double-edged sword that. Well, for more advice on how to avoid those cravings but also curb your carb habit, then have a look at the piece. More food chats. 11 ways to get your 10 a day. It is no longer 5 a day. Recommended intake of fruit and vegetables has now doubled, according to scientists. Lou, do you get your 10 a day?
I actually think I might do. Not every day, definitely. And it probably depends on what quantities qualify for one portion. And I've got a very sweet tooth, so I eat a lot of fruit. And dinners are kind of focused around vegetables. Mm. So
I say on that fruit point, this piece says that you're only allowed out of your 10, 2 to be fruit.
Yeah, which surprised me.
But if I'm having my mum's salad, then
you're out. You know? Pascal, do you eat your 10 a day?
No, definitely not.
How many do you reckon you do?
Half, maybe? 5? Okay. So before, I would have been spot on, but not anymore.
Yeah.
I do eat like fruit in the morning, and then I'll always have like vegetable dinner. But I think it's really interesting. When you think of 10 a day, I always think, like, whoa, that's like a whole pepper and then like a whole of something else, but it's just little bits, isn't it? It all kind of adds up to your 10 a day like that, instead of like thinking about it as like massive portions or anything. It's not actually too hard.
It's not.
You just need to be mindful of it, don't you?
Yeah.
Keep it in the back of your mind.
And it's actually quite easy to subsidize your food. If what you've eaten doesn't have a load of fruit and veg in it so far in the day, then you can just have some carrot sticks with hummus and bangs of it shouldn't be too difficult. Laura, do you eat 10 a day?
I like to think I'm not too far off, but I definitely don't every single day.
Well, some of the advice in this piece included more creative ways to eat your fruit and veg, wasn't it? So things like get yourself a Maggi mix, and like a juice is a really good way to do that. I quite like a savoury green juice as well, and I feel like that's probably your 10, isn't it?
Oh yeah, totally.
And a smoothie. I always keep frozen berries and vegetables in the freezer, and then particularly for children, I'm always like
and
a banana.
So much cheaper doing it that way.
Well, frozen was one of the points in this piece, but it doesn't have to be fresh fruit and veg. And
I think people do think that as well.
Yeah, I always have like frozen peas and frozen edamame in the freezer, and I've added them to basically everything, so that counts as well. I also love a bag of fresh garden peas.
Delicious, that's in the salad.
Peas make any salad better.
Although I would totally go petit pois over garden peas.
In the freezer I'd go petit pois.
Yeah, totally.
Laura, as a mum,
yes,
how hard or easy is it to get your kids to eat their vegetable allowance?
I will always offer it, and I'll always encourage them to eat it, but I also don't want to make it too much of a thing. Mm-hmm. If I beat it into them all the time, they're going to associate, so I just want them to appreciate it for its nice flavours. And my mum has a vegetable patch, so it's quite sweet that they can go there and you know, see where the carrots come from, and I like that. But I will, if I'm a bit like, oh, there's been quite a lot of pizza this week, I will always make a smoothie. That's and I always get them to help me too, so they can see what's going on.
Yeah. And making like fruit skewers or something like that.
Exactly.
Like making it look appetizing and pretty and colourful. And
also I quite often freeze the smoothies into lollies.
Exactly.
Which then is like happy day dream. Yeah.
It's interesting what you said. So I think I'm not a huge vegetable fan, for me, they were used like sort of as a punishment. Like, I wasn't allowed to leave the table ever. Yeah. I'd eaten a piece of fruit. But I feel like in the 90s, fruit was just like less cool, wasn't it? So that piece of fruit had to be an apple or a pear or something. Like, something
the
so
least
boring.
Sexy vegetables. So uncool. Vegetables, yeah.
Yeah. And so I just, like, I would never pick up a piece of fruit like that of my own accord. I like fancy, fun fruit or vegetables. Like, I'll happily eat, like, aubergine with tahini, but I couldn't touch, like, grilled broccoli or something like that, because it just reminds me of being made to eat it. Not in some, like, awful way, but, like, it was just, you know, you had to finish your dinner and that was what you were given.
Going back to the salads thing, it's almost like pimping your veg as well. It's like, if you make it tasty, rather than having, like, boiled broccoli, which is going to, like, sap all the flavour from it and nutrients, make it really tasty, add a glaze to it, add some seasoning, add some seeds, whatever, and then it tastes really good.
You know what I like? It's just, like, a really nice, juicy orange, but you can only eat them on your own. Like,
I am with you. I love an orange.
But they're not for public consumption.
No, they're not. Unless you cut the skin off and then slice it up.
Yeah, that's
happening. That's happening.
Yeah, that is.
But that with passion fruit on it.
I love a passion fruit.
So good. That pimps any fruit.
You mean fruit?
Yeah.
You, like, put it on your fruit.
Yeah, I put it on my fruit. Yeah.
Double.
It's going to be the fruit salad.
So, like, orange with passion fruit on, or mango with lime. Ooh. Delicious.
Well, if you are looking for more tips on how to make your veg more interesting, then do have a look at the piece. Plus, we also spoke to some chefs for some inspiration, and there's even some recipes and an ideal day's worth of fruit and veg in that feature. So do check it out.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know about you guys, but every May and June, without fail, I am grateful that I'm not sitting exams. And it doesn't matter how stressful things are in life, I don't think I'll ever rather swap with 17, 18 year old me doing exams. New figures from the NSPCC have revealed that Childline carried out just under 3,000 counselling sessions on exam stress in 2018 and 19, and that's with around a third taking place at this time of year, with children as young as 7 now exposed to high stress levels and anxiety associated with exams. I still get exam dreams.
Always.
You guys?
Always. Yeah. All the time.
What is it about exams that just stay with you, Lou?
I get that all the time, actually, and it's kind of, I'm in there, I haven't revised, a topic comes up, and your heart just so panicky. Remember they used to say at school, there are some people that perform really well at coursework and some are really good at exams. And that's just always, like, stuck with me. And it's so strange now, and, like, we're never going to take an exam again.
Hopefully not.
And I've got friends who have taken, you know, into their professional life. Yeah. My friend who's an architect, I mean, she's just finishing her. I think she might even have some more. It's insane. Some people really are plagued with them for a really long time.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I will never not be grateful that I chose a profession that doesn't involve that. Pascal, can you still relate to that exam anxiety?
I don't feel the same way about that you guys do, where you, like, have dreams about it anymore or anything like that. But I feel their pain. And especially, like, you know when you do GCSEs and it feels like the end of the world if something doesn't go right. And then you get to our age and it doesn't really matter. Yeah. Like, things don't matter, but they're like stepping stones, I guess.
I just think, though, it is important to say that. I think everybody knows it does matter. And they know from being at school and in that pressurised environment that it does matter. Mm-hmm. But I think that it's really important to teach them as well that the world is a big place and life skills are really important. Mm. And some people are just really bad at exams. Mm. And you know, it's better that you have a bit of common sense and can make your own decisions in life than having 10 A stars in your GCSEs.
It really does depend on the industry that you want to go into.
Exactly. Yeah.
I completely agree with you. I know, had I not been pushed, I wouldn't have done as well as I did. So if I had been told, don't worry, it doesn't matter, it's fine, then personally I wouldn't have reached my potential.
But
so
I'm sure the people that are saying, don't worry, they're still encouraging them to do it, but they're just saying, don't lose your mind over it, because actually there are other more important things in life.
Yeah, and that's true.
And that's probably the encouraging advice once you've got your results back and perhaps they weren't what you wanted them to be before.
Okay. That is true.
But I think lots of children will put the pressure on themselves anyway.
Yes.
And I think it's important to be told that, you know, it's not the be-all and end-all.
True. Because it is not the end of the world.
It's really
true.
Not.
That's true. Did anyone ever have any major exam disasters?
When I was in college, I spoke to my lecturer and he said, put my coursework on his desk. So I went and did it. And then he never said anything to me until the day where I went to get my results. And I sat down with him, with my mum, and he was like, well, you failed. And I was like, why have I failed? And he's like, you didn't give me your coursework. And I was like, put it on your fucking desk like you told me to. He was like, well, I didn't get it.
Oh my God.
Yes, I failed.
But like, what happened subsequently? Like, did you have to redo
nothing. I had to change my module the next year. I was like, I'm not doing fucking business again. Shit. So I did film studies.
Okay.
And like, I got an A. I'm so glad that I changed and I did that because business studies, oh my God, so boring anyway. But I was absolutely gutted. And like, he was so horrible to me because he thought that I'd just been lazy. But I was like, can you not tell me before?
Also, that's really bad teaching. Like, I feel like
really bad managing
as
a teacher.
Yeah. Teacher's job is also to like encourage you to
give you a kick up.
So that didn't go down very well.
So which A-levels did you do?
So I did English and then I did my just an A-level film studies and then I did music technology for some strange reason.
What does that involve?
I couldn't tell you.
I have to say, when I think of you, I'm not sure music technology springs to mind.
No, it was sort of like plugging stuff in, turning knobs. Yeah, it was enjoyable, but I just scraped that as well.
You've thrived your adult life, haven't you?
Yeah, but I think it's like...
English worked well.
Yeah, I feel like you have to make those decisions so early in life. 16, and then you're so concentrated on your exams, and then just being like, oh shit, what am I going to do at college? And then I don't think I picked mine very well. I didn't talk to anyone, didn't have anyone to talk to about what I wanted to do. And then doing business studies. Why? Why am I doing business studies and music technology? What am I going to be? Hybrid job am I going to get like, in that? But like when I did film studies, it like clicked into place for me because I was like, well, I like film and I like writing and those two things I've used in my job.
So you didn't really feel like you had the advice on which topics to pick?
No, and I feel like it's such a stressful time. And like when you're at school and you're in like year 9, I feel like a lot of pressure's put onto you to just pick something.
I remember at my school, you used to not be able to do subjects if it didn't work with the timetabling. So people would be better like, oh no, sorry, you can't do economics because if you want to do it philosophy as well, then it will clash. I mean, that is like... I went to a private school as well. So you're like paying in order to have an education that then pushes you on to the next level. And you're told you can't do what you want to do because it doesn't work with their timetable. That's awful.
Yeah.
Leo, I feel like you had the opposite of Pascal. And you really went down a vocational route.
Well, I did maths, art, psychology and Spanish for AS and then dropped that for A-level.
Basically, she's just good at everything.
We haven't had this discussion. Maths is like my secret skill. That nobody would ever...
That's why there's a calculator on her desk.
Yeah, that I feel like people are very surprised to hear that I really like maths. And I really enjoyed it. I found it super difficult and I had to have extra tuition. And for me, I could never get it unless I really understood exactly why this formula worked. So I was the annoying person that was like... Can you explain this? Can you explain this? But it's so satisfying. And I loved having that versus art where there was kind of never a right or wrong answer. So, yeah, I just love the balance of the two. I probably should have been an architect.
Did you not feel like that was a weird mix of things?
No, I really loved it.
You just did things you liked rather than things that you thought would maybe get you a job.
I mean, fashion has kind of always been my number one passion and always hoped that I would have a career in it. But I remember at the end of school... then having to decide, do I do an art foundation, which I would need to go into the fashion industry, or do I go down the maths route? Like really not being sure for ages, and then in the end followed my heart with what my real love was. But yeah, I really enjoyed having that difference between the subjects.
Pascal, I think also what you're referring to is, it sounds like your college offered more vocational studies. Like, I know my school, it was just straight subjects at A-level. There was nothing even broadly kind of career orientated. It was like, you know, maths or English or economics. It was just like subjects. So I think there's less pressure in those circumstances to pick things that are like, inverted commas, for your career, because then you don't have to specialise. You're more just kind of studying academic subjects, maybe makes it easier or harder. Laura, what did you do?
I did art, history of art, geography and business studies.
What
did you think of business studies?
That choir.
I kind of wish I'd listened more.
Yeah.
Like now I'm like, why didn't I? It sort of all makes sense now.
Probably one of the only subjects we've actually learned some life skills.
Yeah, exactly.
But don't you think you'd be so interested now working for a business if you were kind of, you then went into that class and see what they're taught and kind of listen into it and like how relevant those things are for what we do now?
Yeah. Anyway, I wish I'd listened more.
And do you feel like what you learned in those subjects has helped you subsequently in your career?
No, not massively. No. I mean, I guess the creative side, yes, slightly, but...
That's more about like nurturing a side of you though, isn't
it?
Than like actively applying knowledge that you've learned.
But as you said earlier, it's all stepping stones, isn't it?
Yeah.
But what do you do, Charlotte?
I did English, French and philosophy with a politics AS level thrown in there.
That sounds so hard and not fun.
It wasn't. It was so chill, honestly. Philosophy is not that challenging at that level.
Is it just like, well, I think...
No, it's not that. You're learning like other people's theories. And that basically everything I did was all about analysing text. So I did English and French at university as well, and I mean I really excelled on the French side, not because of my language skills at all. I actually did so poorly on the language stuff, but because of analysing of literature. So the philosophy was script analysis as well. That's what I always loved about English. I nearly did a master's in it as well. If I had kind of all the free time and money in the world, then I would just go and study French literature in the library somewhere. So I know, but anyway, now I'm here. I feel like we really moved away from exams, didn't we? But anyway, if you do want advice, if you do have children or you yourself are heading into Orch in the throngs, I guess, of exam season, or even if you're a grown-up who still has plenty of exams to go, then do have a look at some of our advice on the site. It's everything from lifestyle advice to mental ways of just trying not to feel quite so overwhelmed by the process. Let's end by talking a bit about fashion. We did a roundup of jumpsuits for every day last week because, okay, the boiler suit might be everywhere, but even if it's not for you, there's still a lot of jumpsuits out there. Lou, jumpsuit fan?
I love loose dungarees. There are a couple of in here. I love that look on holiday, linen, overalls, just super relaxed. I prefer a boiler suit, I think, to a jumpsuit if it's buttoned up the front. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think my proportions, I've got quite a short body and longer legs. So often kind of where it cinches you in or where the crotch sits just doesn't quite work on my body. And I think that's often, it kind of looks a bit tricky. But they look great. And I think perhaps slightly less girly equivalent to a dress. Mm-hmm. One easy throw-on piece and you're kind of good to go. I love them actually more dressed up as well. I think it can kind of make a real statement.
Definitely. Laura, you're a fan?
Yeah, I am. I love a jumpsuit. I love a boiler suit. I quite like them relaxed with trainers. Mm. Simple, not too much fuss. Usually one colour.
Yeah. I'm the same. Jumpsuits can look really cheap, can't they?
Yeah.
If you get them wrong. So I feel like this is quite a kind of safe guide to how to get them right, which includes all those things you just talked about. So keeping
it's
it neutral.
It's that sort of stretchy non-cotton fabric that really puts me off.
Yeah, with the floral design.
That's exactly what I'm picturing. This floral print, like a jersey floral print.
Yeah, and it's not flattering. So I think you need something with a bit more substance to it.
Yes, I agree. Lou, have you bought any for this season?
I have bought no jumpsuits. I've got a boiler suit, which Sean and I actually have both got the same one from French Connection. And there is a pair of Matin Studios, which is a brand on Net-a-Porter, and they do really beautiful linen summer holiday wear, and they've got a gorgeous pair of black overalls which I've got my eye on for summer holidays.
Pascal, would you wear a jumpsuit?
I mean, this might be surprising because I just wear jeans and a t-shirt to work all the time, but I do love a jumpsuit. I bought one recently from Topshop, like a nice black smart one.
For events as opposed to for every day?
I think both. Like, could wear it with both. I wore it on Saturday just with like trainers and a t-shirt. But the problem I have with jumpsuits is like being tall and having like long legs, long body, quite a curvy body, is that there is like a major north-south divide, if you know what I mean, sometimes. And I'm like, they have to fit really well.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's a real ish.
Yeah. I think you should look probably not for crop styles then, more for the ones that are a bit more drapey.
And there are some that maybe are longer longer than they're meant to be, and then they have a belt, so you can sort of roll it over if you then need to sort of cinch yourself in and hoik it up a little bit. Exactly.
Yeah.
So maybe look for those styles.
Yeah. But isn't it bad when you like really need a wee and you're trying to get your jumpsuit off?
It's worse. Yeah, I agree. And I've got quite a few, like the boiler suits are worse because you've got to get your whole top half like out of them. It's not even like a little strap.
So yeah.
It's a pain in the ass. Well, I like them for the reason that you said before, which is just that they're so easy. Like such a hack for looking good. I just hate separate so much. They're so good. Finally, espadrilles. It's just to me symbolises that like it is officially the beginning of summer. It's finally here. We can start doing content on things like espadrilles, which is great news. And Lou, I feel like you probably converted everybody back to the espadrilles last summer, didn't
you? I remember actually having a conversation with Charlotte and she was like, I would never wear espadrilles. They are not for me. And then 2 weeks later, what did
I think
she
it probably
wear?
Took me a bit longer than that, but yes.
A month later, ordered some. And I just think they're a really good way of looking a little bit more, not even dressed up.
Because they're a heel. Yeah. They are a bit more smart.
Exactly. It just kind of pulls you together a little bit more. It's very flattering. Elongate your legs. They are super comfortable as well. And you can get some really affordable versions on the high street. And they're the kind of thing that really does last. And it's not really a trend.
Yeah, they don't.
My issue
with them, I find them so hard to walk in.
I could not agree with you more. I wore mine the other day and I agree they're really comfortable. Mm. Honestly struggled to walk from Wandsworth Town Station to the office.
And I hate that feeling that I'm like tottering. It's like the worst look in the world.
And I feel like I'm going to break my ankle at any minute. Yeah.
I know.
That's not just me. I don't know why that is.
Maybe you could give us some lessons.
Yeah. Okay, we'll have a little lesson.
I was going to say maybe yours are a lower heel height than mine, but I definitely just went and bought exactly what you had.
I think another thing is that wedges, in theory, are a really great concept because they add a bit of height, but you aren't kind of tottering on a stetto. And then for me, that is the espadrille, but they're slightly more relaxed and off duty than a wedge, and they've sort of got that French girl nonchalant, like, oh, I've just got some heels on, which everybody wants to look like.
I know. I do think those wedges have a sort of kind of Vegas pool party connotation these days, don't they?
Exactly.
It's a bit kind of Ocean Beach Club for me. I agree. Yeah. I think an espadrille is,
I think they are the biggest man repeller, though, aren't they? I mean,
I do think
wedge.
I don't think they're that noticeable, actually. I think that they're quite like inoffensive. Yeah. I don't know.
For me, they have to have the tie around the ankle. Yes. I really don't like the ones that
are a strap. Yeah, they also need to be a decent height. You can't start having a like a little wedge because that's a bit normcore.
Exactly.
Yeah,
I do go for a little wedge though, but only because I'm really tall.
That is fair. That is
and
fair.
The wedges on them are fucking massive.
They are.
I just look ridiculous. So I go for a little wedge.
Yeah. Yes, they're also really good for a summer wedding if you're walking along grass and you don't want to be like standing in.
100%.
You know, then they're really good sort of summer occasion wear if you can wear something that's maybe not so smart.
Yeah, if I was a guest at my own wedding, I would wear them.
Yeah.
Well, I like a cream version personally, but we've got a whole variety of different colours, whether you like French navy, something studded. Oh, denim. I like the denim ones, actually. They're quite
cool.
Nice. Yeah.
Do you know what I don't like on them is when, like, the toe bit comes too high up.
You need, like, something akin to toe cleavage.
Yes,
like,
totally.
Or just pretty low down. I agree. I think that's about all we have time for this week. If you have any feedback, please do email us at podcast@sheerlux.com. We love getting your feedback. And don't forget to rate, review, subscribe, and tell your friends. Bye-bye.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.